Hey everybody, this episode of the Press Row Podcast is brought to you by Out of the Park Developments, and you know what? It is now the Steam Summer Sale. One of the biggest and best sales of the year is now on from today through the 4th of July, and Out of the Park Baseball 18 is available for 50% off, as is Franchise Hockey Manager 3. You can now get Out of the Park Baseball 18, the follow-up to the 2016 Metacritic PC Game of the Year, for just $19.99, and you can get Franchise Hockey Manager 3, a fantastic hockey strategy simulator, for just $9.99. There is no time like the present. If you have not already picked up Out of the Park Baseball or Franchise Hockey Manager, now's the time to do it. It's the Steam Summer Sale. Both games are 50% off. You get the award-winning baseball game and the fantastic hockey game. We are really excited for the Steam Summer Sale this year. I mentioned it's between now and the 4th of July. Don't wait any longer. Out of the Park Baseball 18, 50% off. Franchise Hockey Manager 3, 50% off. You can get them on Steam during the Steam Summer Sale. Thanks, everybody, and enjoy the show. So E3 has now come and gone. We've finally been able to get Kat Bailey, the editor-in-chief of US Gamer, to come on for this episode of the Press Row Podcast and discuss all the big news from the event and EA Play, plus her own show floor hands-on impressions of the various games. We'll also be getting to NHL 18, which just made official its big new features and announced an online beta. I'm your host, Brian Weedy, Pasta Padre, and also along for the show is Rich Grisham of Out of the Park Developments. Kat, thanks as always for coming on. I imagine you had a very busy week between EA Play and E3.
So busy, but really all I wanted to do was hang out in the sports area and play all of the sports games. And I actually managed to sneak in a little extra Madden, which was really nice.
So let's just get started. I mean, you mentioned Madden. So Madden had the big announcement as far as we knew their story mode was coming, but they revealed it with a theatrical typed trailer and some of the details of the story mode. You also got to play the game pretty extensively, I think, on the show floor. So what did you know? Give me your overall observations, impressions of Madden NFL 18 from what you got to see and what you learned from the game there.
Oh boy. I mean, that is a tall order. There is a lot to cover. Yeah. So I guess I should start with the story mode. It's been interesting because people I have never heard talk with interest about sports games have been talking about Longshot to me, mm-hmm. which is absolutely EA's intention. They want to get fresh blood into this game. And, you know, it's also they can do it. But it made me realize that sports games are kind of facing this sort of crisis, right, where they've saturated the market. They've kind of hit all of the people they're possibly going to reach, especially with this being the middle of the generation. Lots of people have bought in and everything, and it's still making tons of money. But like, where do you grow, right? Like, where do you go from here? And one of the problems they have is that they have this really hardcore community, this community that always buys in, the community that plays tons of Madden Ultimate Team or FIFA Ultimate Team, the community that might even watch esports, Madden esports from time to time, because they're like, they're that invested in the community. This is not for those people. This is for the people like Drew Magary over at GQ/Deadspin, who called Madden basically like rocket science, right? Like just legit. It's like, this is too much. I don't understand. And Madden is a hard game to get into. It took me a long time to really come to grasp everything that this game was about. I played hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of hours of this game, and it's a ridiculously complicated game. So Longshot is it's a great idea. As you know, it's a campaign mode. It's going to be like a 4 to 8 hour kind of like a little story. It's going to be fun. It's going to be easy. It's going to be breezy. It's going to unlock a whole bunch of Madden Ultimate Team stuff. It's going to sneakily teach you a bunch of concepts when it comes to Madden, like how to read formations and that kind of thing. It'll kind of like ease you into the actual gameplay through the high school flashbacks. And then before you know it, you're going to be like, oh, man, yeah, I can play this game. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this isn't so scary, right? Yeah. And then next thing you know, you're playing actual Madden.
Yeah, that was the main thing for me. I think I get a lot of a lot of questions about, like, why did they decide to do a story mode as opposed to doing something else that, you know, certain individuals want more than a story mode? And I think there's two big reasons. You hit on one right there as far as the accessibility of the game and how this brings in a new type of player who can mature into other areas of the game. But also, I see...
We'll start buying those Madden Ultimate Team packs. Well, oh, yeah.
You want to get them young, so... and grow into it. So, yeah, that's absolutely a big factor here. And the other is the marketing potential of it. Like you said, it's reaching an audience that normally wouldn't be paying attention. It's something they can cut a trailer out of, something they can cut a commercial out of, and easily communicate to consumers through a wide variety of platforms. It's something they can use to differentiate from one year to the next and get away from that it's just a roster update cliche that is still in the minds of many who are not dedicated hardcore sports gaming fans.
Absolutely. So
it gives them a lot of potential in that regard, and so it doesn't surprise me that they would invest there.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And actually, I think one thing that's interesting is that a lot of us kind of laughed about the Spike Lee joint. I know that Rich, so it's like, oh no, it was fine. But
Rich liked it.
Rich liked it.
I did.
A lot of us, but here's the thing. A lot of people remember it. A lot of people who do not play sports games remember that Spike Lee did a thing with NBA 2K.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of visibility that like helps sports games break out. And I think it's telling that NBA 2K has managed to become a larger part of the pop culture because of that.
Yeah.
Now, I talked to Mike Young before the long shot reveal. Some of the things that were really interesting to me, Mike Young's been working on this since 2013. Okay. Mm-hmm. He's been working on this since, Madden 25, like before the current generation, and actually shopped the idea around to like pretty much all of the sports teams, and ultimately landed with Madden. And then much later, like FIFA ended up taking, you know, some of the kind of the skeleton of his idea and going in a different direction with it. But he has been working on this for like 4 years, which is crazy to me. And it's interesting, like they were trying to make it work with Ignite and they were having a hard time with it. Like they weren't able to really do it because he wanted something akin to like a Telltale adventure, like with characters remembering this or remembering that. But one of the drawbacks he was having was that they couldn't actually model people outside of like pads. They couldn't put people in anything, you know, they couldn't model environments. They couldn't model like suits or people in regular clothing. They couldn't even model like women and children. Like it was a really limited system. And now finally with Frostbite, they can actually do that, which is really great. And they're like, and he was kind of taking a shot at NBA 2K. He was like, yeah, like, you know, and he was kind of taking a shot at MLB The Show too as well, because, you know, they had the cutscenes. And he was like, yes, like you have these story modes, but they're always in like an apartment, an office, the coach's office, a hallway. Mm. Like it's always in the same places, right? Well, we have like tons of environments, like tons of areas. It's going to be like a movie. It's going to be great. And I'm like, oh, you know, that sounds kind of cool. I think the craziest thing, the thing that really kind of blows my mind, is that it's not going to have a single NFL game. Like, yeah. I'm trying to explain the significance of this to people who don't play sports games. It's not going to have a single NFL game.
That's the genius.
It's a game with NFL in the title.
That is the genius of the mode. Because every other time anything like this has been attempted, it has been shackled with the rest of the game. And just taking that bridle off and just being able to do basically an entirely standalone experience is the best part about it, I think. I love that idea, and I'm glad he was able to make it happen.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I like the idea that it can be kind of an ongoing story and might even have like DLC and that kind of thing. I know that there were people who were kind of people were complaining about it pretty hard on the Madden subreddit when I saw it. But I think that what Brian was saying is kind of accurate. Like, I mean, at the very least, you're always going to have a hook of like, well, what's going to happen next in the story, right? And you're going to have the next installment of the story of, what was it? Is his name Devin Wade? Yeah. Devin Wade, his buddy, whatever his name is.
It'll also be interesting to see if this becomes truly standalone at some point, whether, you know, in a special sale or in the vault, like if they truly extricate this from the game and offer it for $10 or $5 or $25 or whatever at some point.
Which they did with Fight Night Champion.
And I bought that. Yeah, right? Exactly. I did. I bought that.
Yeah. They broke it into pieces. But yeah. So, I mean, it's an interesting concept. It definitely worked in FIFA. I think this is a little more, it's giving you even less control though, right, Kat? There's not as much as far as playable segments. It's more of just an interactive movie almost.
Yeah, that's what they were kind of saying. They were saying that it was going to be like very seamless. You weren't going to have a lot of load times. You're not going to have you're not going to be customizing your character or anything. Which, of course, immediately, set the Madden people off. Like, what the hell? You're going to be picking dialogue choices. And you're going to be doing, a variety of things. Like, there's going to be, kind of film room studies where, you're picking out different formations. There are going to be quick time events. You're going to be participating in mini games in the Combine. It's going to encompass, actually, a wide range of kind of gaming aspects. It's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out. And also, it's going to have multiple endings. And apparently, and I'm really curious to see, it's going to have multiple endings. Some of them involve you getting drafted. Some of them involve you and your friend getting drafted. Some of them involve you and you getting drafted, but your friend not getting drafted, etc. And I'm interested to see, if this carries over to the next game. Which I probably will.
Which I think I saw in an interview somewhere that they were saying, depending on what people think of it, they could come back with a sequel next year. But I can tell you right now, if they're probably long, they're deep into production of that probably already. As far as they're not going to put that all together within 7 or 8 months, so they know where they're going with it. As far as what you got to play, Kat, what did you think of, whether it be the gameplay changes? Because I know there's some dramatic stuff as far as the passing system, and then just whatever else has been adjusted. Did you play on the competitive or the simulation gameplay style, that kind of stuff? What did you get into as far as gameplay?
Okay, so I played 2 full games, and I played both of them on simulation. It's interesting. Simulation, it's not entirely clear to me, the differences, but what I'm able to grok is that the arcade mode is, crazy scoring and lots of insane things happening, and simulation is, a lot more circumspect, I suppose. So if you want to have a lot of fun with your friends, you kind of put it on arcade. And then if you want to play a more realistic thing, obviously you play in simulation. And then there's the competitive mode, and that is more for the esports crowd, I suppose. But so, yeah, I was playing in simulation. And so some impressions. Impressions are that this is a year where they are primarily focused on the transition to Frostbite. And it so far seems like a relatively successful transition. Obviously, you cannot tell how well it's going to go until it's been out in the wild for a little bit. For example, the issues that FIFA had did not really come to light until after launch. But it certainly feels very different. The way the characters accelerate and get off the line, totally different. It's night and day. There were some plays that I was doing, especially these bunch plays where I'm going for verts and I'm looking for my players to do kind of a wheel route. The way they accelerate is just so different that it's actually disorienting. And I was having to completely redo my timing. Hmm. Another thing that I was talking to Rex Dixon, who's one of the directors, and he was telling me that they are going to, one of the ways that they're kind of addressing man-to-man coverage, which was not super great in Madden 17, was that they are giving a much bigger difference between kind of elite corners and, the next level down. Mm-hmm. And the idea being that somebody like Patrick Peterson or Chris Harris or somebody can cover somebody, can be a lockdown corner, can lock them down when they're trying to do their like out routes or their corner routes, the stuff that would normally burn man coverage. And their goal is to have a bigger difference between elite players, which I think is a good idea, especially because, and I imagine that this is a Mutt thing, because in Mutt, you can build a pretty dang good team with just, you know, like you pick the right players with the right stats, you're going to build a competitive team, and then it becomes a skill thing at that point.
Yeah,
you have insane players like, you know, flashback to Deshaun Jackson or Randy Moss or whatever. But by and large, like the differences between the stats have not been that different. So we might see a lot more of that in Madden 18. Now, another thing that really jumped out at me and I really like is that you can do these in-game kind of play adjustments. So you can like go, I want my blitz to be really aggressive or like a lot more conservative. Or I can like, you can change how the cornerbacks, like how they cover players, like whether it's by height or like by just pure skill and that kind of thing. Like there's a ton of options. And I was like, oh, okay, well, great. This is great. Give me more options, right? So, I mean, well, it remains to be seen whether there will be a quote-unquote, like, ideal set of options that you always use. Hopefully that's not the case. But I like having more in-game strategy options, and it brings me back to, like, Madden 11, where you could manually assign cornerbacks to receivers, but it was a total mess, right? Like, it's you'd have cornerbacks like not covering people properly. And it's like, this is not a good idea to do this thing, right? It's just screwing with the AI. This seems like a much smarter approach.
Yeah, I want stuff that's situational based, that it becomes coaching decisions, and that, you know, if I am, you know, have a lead and I know the other team is going to be passing, I want to, you know, pass rush heavily and I want to be rewarded for that. But if they were running the ball, I should be getting gashed. You know, it's just the risk and reward aspects of the games that we always want implemented so much more. And so it's good to hear they're at least considering a lot of that.
Hey everybody, Rich Grisham here. We're going to take just a moment to thank our sponsors for this week, HelloFresh. These guys do a fantastic job, and I am now a customer, and you can help the Press Row podcast and have some great meals, and we'll tell you how to do that at the end of this. So real quick, let me tell you what HelloFresh is. They are on a mission to save home cooking because it's just too good to go away. They want to make cooking more fun, so they focus on the whole experience, not just the final plate. So they think of themselves as three different kind of companies all at one. Number one, a farm-to-box company, because they want everyone to have access to fresh ingredients that inspire great meals. But they're also a couch-to-kitchen company because they think the best way to kick those 5 p.m. excuses is by feeling unstoppable in the kitchen. And third, they are a fork to feel good company, because when you cook and eat delicious and healthy meals, you're going to want to keep doing it again and again. And I can vouch for this because HelloFresh sent us a big old box with several meals, and it came in an insulated box, and it had the frozen ice packs in there, which kept everything nice and fresh. And those, by the way, are reusable. So we tossed them into the freezer, and we actually wound up using them when we went to the beach a few days later. They offer different things, a classic box, a veggie box, and a family box. You can order 3, 4, or 5 different meals per week designed for either 2 or 4 people. New recipes are created every week. In 6 easy-to-master steps, they get you chopping, zesting, and cooking like a natural, because most of the recipes take just 30 minutes and require minimal equipment. And this is totally legit. As I mentioned, my wife and my son, he's 9, he was working with her, and they got all the stuff out, and they chopped, and they zested, and they cooked, and they did everything that they had to do. And it was a really, really great meal at the end. And I am now officially a HelloFresh customer. So the way that you can help us out is simple. All you got to do, you got to go to HelloFresh.com and enter the code PRESSROW30 when you subscribe. When you do that, you get $30 off your first week of deliveries. That is a great savings. So HelloFresh.com and our PressRow30 when you subscribe. This is a really good service. It really makes life easier and better. You know, if you want to have a good meal, but you want to prepare it and you want to sort of get everybody in the kitchen, This is a fantastic way to do it, and it's cost effective too. For less than $10 a meal, you're going to have much better dinner than if you were, you know, to do that guilty pleasure, drive on over to that fast food place or order that same pizza that you've had four times in the last 8 days. Check out HelloFresh.com and enter the promo code PRESSROW30. Get $30 off your first week of deliveries. Thanks, everybody. Thank you, HelloFresh. Thank you for listening to the Press Row podcast, and enjoy the rest of the show.
You didn't get a chance to try the Mutt Squads, which I think they had out at least at EA Play. Yeah.
Yeah, they had it at EA Play. And by the way, apparently there's another gal out there who came in and was kicking ass. So apparently I have a rival. So I'm going to have to find this lady. I'm going to have to defeat her.
Mutt Squads.
But yeah, Mutt Squads, I mean, it sounds interesting. And I expect that they're trying to turn this into maybe more of an esports type thing. But I don't necessarily see a reason for me to be playing it, because I don't know, like, I guess if I got a group of friends together and we were playing it, but Mutt Squads doesn't, like, I'm not really seeing the appeal. Like, can somebody explain the appeal of this mode to me?
So, okay. Rich, let me bring you in for a second here, Rich. Like, does it matter to you that this feature is tied into Ultimate Team, which you really have no interest in playing?
Well, I mean, it doesn't matter to me personally, but it makes complete sense to me from a business perspective, and I have no problem with them doing that, right? It's just me personally, that's not my thing. And as I've said, like, my biggest thing is, as long as I don't feel that Ultimate Team or any of its modes are getting in the way of me having a good time with the other way that I play the game, I won't have an issue with it. And that's sort of how I feel about this.
Yeah. It's, the appeal is in that people wanted, there's a lot vocal group of people who want online team playback, and there's, and it's been a successful mode in NBA and NHL. So those cooperative type modes work there, and Madden's always had the challenge that it doesn't make as much sense in Madden. To me, I think what they're going for is, number one, like Rich said, they're tying it into Ultimate Team because they can get more people playing Ultimate Team, investing in their teams, and then combining. Because what happens is you have 3 versus 3, and you bring in one, either offense or defense, or like the coaching aspects, and the other people bring in their own aspects. And so nobody wants to be the weak link. They want to work up their team so they can bring in a strong unit and contribute. But then also, this is exactly where I think they're going for esports. I think 3-on-3 makes it far more entertaining to watch. There's more strategy going on. There's more room for user error, because everything you see in like Madden esports right now, it's, you know, there is the factor, of course, of user skill, but a lot of it is based on just player ratings and calling the same plays, which are overly effective over and over, using the same tactics over and over. But when you have somebody user controlling a defensive back, or user, you know, locked into a defensive back, or locked into a defensive end, or running routes with a wide receiver, it becomes a lot more entertaining, I think, to see success be had and also mistakes be made, because there's just much more potential for that without just blaming the CPU for dropping a pass or whatever. It's because you ran a poor route and you didn't get a clean look at the ball or whatever it might be. So I think that's potentially where it's going. So they have the front there of making money from it, and then also I think building their esports, which I think would be probably more watchable if it was using that.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose.
So, all right, let's get to FIFA then, and we'll get to the talking about the Switch a little later, because Rich and I have already been debating that for a few shows, but FIFA,
I think I've been winning, really. I'm not really debating. Just destroy your competition, right?
There's no winning or losing here, Rich. We don't know. We'll find out the winner in like November.
Of course, yes. Yes, exactly right.
And I don't want to win. I hope it's successful. I'm just skeptical. Rich is very bullish. I'm skeptical. We'll get to that and talk about Kat's piece in a bit. But the base of FIFA, which you know, the Switch version doesn't have the Journey, and we'll talk about that later. But the standard FIFA PC, Xbox One, PS4, which has the second year of the Journey, and then it had they debuted a number of the gameplay improvements and stuff. Did you get a chance to play any of that, Kat?
I played a couple of games of FIFA, and my immediate impression is that it looks a lot better. Like, it looks really, really, really good. Like, clearly the second year with the Frostbite engine has made a huge difference. And just, I mean, I was playing with, like, all the settings on, like, PS4 Pro and that kind of thing. And, ooh, it looks really good. So I'm like, yes, okay, that immediately is great. It animates really well. The players just, it feels better. They've clearly kind of been addressing, like, shots and that kind of thing. I was talking to developers. They were saying that, like, player ID is going to be a big thing this year. And also, like, team IDs. So you're going to have teams that play, you know, much more recognizable kind of styles of football. So Juventus, for example, might have really outstanding defense and that sort of thing. But of course, it's always going to be the top teams, right?
Like a cat going right Crystal... for that Italian club. Well done, excellent.
Thank
reference.
You. Your Crystal, you're the. I mean, they were in the Champions League final, but
oh, I know. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, like your Crystal Palaces and your West Hams aren't going to get the same love, but whatever. Still, like the player ID and team ID has been long overdue, and it's really good to see that. And they also have added presentational overlays for MLS, which most people just kind of roll their eyes. But, you know, I like it. I like that you have more individual presentational overlays is always welcome. And also, but I think the most important thing, like outside of the presentation, like they've clearly done some work on like how the stadiums look and everything. The most important thing is the off the ball AI definitely seems better this time. It is like I was really impressed by how smoothly my players were moving around the field. It almost felt PES-like.
How are the controls? That's my question.
The controls certainly like look, I've only played two games, okay? So I'm not going to be able to say definitively.
The two games on the ETH on the show floor, which is the least optimal way to play a video game.
Of course.
For anyone out there wondering,
I'm going to say that it feels better, and I scored a couple goals. I was like, all right, yeah, this feels all right. But obviously, like everybody was complaining about the input lag and everything, especially on the Xbox last generation. It felt better to me. We will see how it all shakes out when it comes out. But I think the main takeaways with FIFA right now is that it looks a lot better on Frostbite. Like the stadiums and everything have been definitely spruced up. The off-the-ball AI is really nice. It feels good. It just feels really good in a way that like last year didn't necessarily feel. So I'm pretty optimistic. I'm pretty optimistic about this year's FIFA. One thing I want to mention about Madden and FIFA is that I would not expect any major improvements to career mode, especially Madden. Madden is going all in on long shot and the transition to Frostbite. So if you're like if you're really hoping, for example, owner mode to be finally fixed, yeah, I wouldn't hope for that. It sounds like the only major addition that they're making is that you can finally set a draft board. So if you're not able to take part in a draft, you don't have to hope for that the CPU gods draft the right guy. You can set a draft board now.
That's awesome. And so like, obviously the way that, I mean, I'm pretty sure I say this as if I know it's true. I believe it to be true. The way that you and I and Brian play Madden is in our online league for the most part. So I'm fine with that. Like I'm literally fine with that because as long as the gameplay keeps getting better with the infrastructure they have for our league, that's how I play Madden anyway. So to me, that's not a negative. I realize I'm not saying that everyone should feel that way, but me personally, I am totally cool with that.
I would like at some point for them to kind of catch up a little bit with where NBA 2K, for example, is in terms of they have expansion, they have a much broader relocation suite of options for relocation. Even NHL is surpassed Madden in those terms. And then also, like, there are just so many more options that you can have in other franchise modes. Like, I think Madden's franchise mode is passable. There's so many rooms for so much room for improvement, and owner mode in particular is like so broken and has been for the past 4 years that it's just like, I know that I get that career mode has a kind of a hardcore audience. It's not nearly as broad as like Ultimate Team and that kind of thing. I get that they've been putting a lot more emphasis on gameplay, and that's like totally fair. Like, franchise, you can have the best franchise in the mode in the world, but if the gameplay is not up to snuff, whatever, it doesn't matter. But at the same time, as a career mode lover, I would like them to finally, like, take a serious look at owner mode. But it's not going to happen this year.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about the Switch version then. You wrote a piece on US Gamer that expressing your thoughts on how well you think this FIFA is going to do on Nintendo Switch. The impressions coming out of EA Play seem to be fairly positive. I mentioned earlier, it doesn't have the journey, it doesn't have Frostbite, but it seems to be in a pretty good place for what they're offering otherwise. And so Rich and I have debated a few times now its prospects to sell on the Switch, which Nintendo platforms have not done very well for third-party titles, specifically sports games. The only one that has really done well in the last decade is golf, and that died after Tiger Woods took a nosedive off the course. So it's just interesting to see, especially get your perspective, Kat, based on what you've seen of the game already, and then just how you think that fits in with Nintendo and with consumers who either already play FIFA elsewhere or might be brand new consumers through Nintendo.
Okay, so speaking personally, I will be purchasing a copy of FIFA. Why will I be purchasing a copy of FIFA for the Switch? Because I like the idea of being able to play it on the road. Mm-hmm. I like the idea of being able to do a career mode, being able to just hang out and play it on my Switch. I think FIFA is an amazing airplane game. Like, incredible. Because it's so addictive, right? Like, there's only like 15-minute games. You just go through them. You chew through them. And it feels really good, right? Like, you just keep going. That said, I'm the minority. A lot of people who play FIFA are the kind of people who play online, or they play on the couch with their friends, or they play FIFA Ultimate Team. And here's the rub for Nintendo. Switch has come late enough in the generation that a lot of people, I would say even most people, have now bought in to the current generation. They bought an Xbox One, or they bought a PS4. And if you own one of those consoles, there's literally no reason to buy FIFA, except if you're like so hooked on it that you're like, I gotta have this game. Have this game everywhere I go. And people are like, well, you know, you can play with your friends, like local multiplayer. And I'm like, well, why wouldn't you just play on the couch with your PS4, which you can do? I mean, yeah, sure, like, that's a thing. If you both have a Switch and you both have a copy of FIFA, sure, that is a thing that you can do. But it strikes me kind of as a niche thing, right? Now, I could see a audience among, say, dads who have a Switch and they have kids and they have not upgraded to a PS4 or an Xbox One or whatever, but they got a Switch for the kids and they're like, I'm going to pick up a copy of FIFA. I'm going to play with my kids. It's going to be great. Or something to that effect. But sports games are so built on their online ecosystems, Madden and FIFA especially, that I just, like, FIFA's on the Switch is not going to have an online ecosystem, like, at all. It's not going, like, FIFA Ultimate Team is not going to be a thing on that thing. It's going to have a tiny community, and that is going to impact its value. Like, so, okay, yes, FIFA Ultimate Team is there. But is it that appealing? Are you going to invest in it? I wouldn't invest in FIFA Ultimate Team on the Switch because, and let's be honest, Ultimate Team is an investment. Mm-hmm. It's an investment of time, and often it is an investment of money. So, and you have to choose. Like, I only know one person who plays Ultimate Team on more than one console. And frankly, like, he's extremely hardcore. He plays, like, year-round. Like, Ultimate Team is his thing. FIFA Ultimate Team is the thing he does. He's been on the show, Jeremy Stein. And, like, I totally respect that. Like, that's how he enjoys his video games. But I would wager that most people are not like that. I would wager that most people aren't going to be like, I am also going to invest in FIFA Ultimate Team on the Switch.
Yeah.
Right? And if you're like looking at the copy versions of FIFA to buy, you're like going, well, okay, well, I can buy it on the Switch and I guess it'd be portable or something, or I could get the much better version on the Xbox One and the PS4. I mean, to me, it's like a no-brainer. Like I said, I'm going to buy it because I'm a career-minded person who enjoys the idea of playing this on the road, but I also know that I'm an extreme minority. So in that regard, I just don't see it as being a tremendously good fit for the Switch's audience.
Rich, would you like to give your rebuttal?
Yes, I would. Thank you, Brian. So the Wii was a gimmick with controls, right, that needed an entirely different game. The Wii U was a sales catastrophe, and it also required a different version of the game. That's why sports games did not work well on those platforms. The Switch is very popular. The Switch has very few sports games and will have very few sports games this year. It does not require a wildly different version of the common game platform. And FIFA is the most popular sports game, and soccer is the most popular game in the world. That is an equation that is going to add up to FIFA being very well received and very high percentages of sales this fall when it comes out. It's just too many people love soccer, too many people love FIFA. The fact that it's going to be a legit version of the game, there's going to be a lot of people that buy multiple versions, and there's going to be a lot of people that buy one version, and it will be on the Wii because they're going to be able to play it in ways that they've never been able to play these games, or at least not anything since resembling the Vita. And even the Vita was just a pure handheld. This is something that can be handheld or on the big screen that you can play solo, that you can play online, that you can play co-op easily with your friends anywhere. This game is going to be a huge hit.
I would say that my counterpoint to that is that it will look significantly worse on the Switch than it does on the PS4, that a lot of the people who are buying the Switch already own one of the two major consoles. I mean, keep in mind that the PS4 has literally sold like 65 to 70 million units. That's a lot of units. And
sure,
people who, and the existing FIFA audience, they own one of those consoles. So,
right,
like, you are counting on FIFA, like, FIFA fans to double dip. And
no,
that is
some, not
that
not
is a big
percent.
Expectation. And then you're going, okay, well, if you're not expecting people to double dip, then you're expecting a whole new audience out of this already gigantic audience to come out of nowhere to be picking up this game.
If 15 to 20% of the people that have Switches buy FIFA, you're talking multiple millions. And I guarantee you there will be 15 to 20% of people with Switches who are going to buy FIFA.
Oh, Rich.
Okay, first of all, the Switch has not sold that many.
Yeah.
All right.
But
like, it's been selling very well. It's sold maybe like 2 to 3, it's sold like 3 to 4 million units. Okay, so.
And it'll be
like,
another
okay,
two
so
to three by
it's
the
a
time
big ask.
Out.
And not only that, the kind of people who buy the Switch are like Nintendo fans.
Yes.
And frankly, I'm not seeing that like Nintendo fan and sports game fan necessarily has a ton of overlap, you know? So I'm just going, I'm not seeing the fit with the audience is what I'm saying.
And I'm not saying NBA is going to be that same success story, by the way. I want to be clear on that. I think NBA will have a smaller audience. But I think FIFA on the Switch, with all of the positives of the experience and the different ways that you can play it and the popularity of the game and the sport, is going to be a big seller. We'll find out. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to keep repeating myself. But I really think there's a lot of positive momentum.
To be clear, I'm not rooting for it to fail. I think that this has been kind of a labor of love on the part of the Romanian studio. Like, they've done the absolute best they could. Like, they're saying that they're using a customized engine for the Switch. My understanding is that it's more of a kind of souped-up version of Ignite, which is fine. Like, they're doing the best. They're doing the absolute best they can. But the fact of the matter is that it is a stripped-down version, like, going back at least 3, maybe 4 years in terms of the game, and it is an inferior version. And we've seen in the past how inferior versions of sports games are received. Like, sports gamers, people who play sports games, want the best possible version.
Yeah, I think it's facing a difficult situation also because everyone pull up or they'll see ads on television or wherever, on YouTube, whatever. Wow, look at this trailer, this Alex Hunter trailer for the story mode. This looks awesome. And then come to find out it's not even there on the Switch version. So that would probably be the mode that made the most sense for the Nintendo crowd, actually, when we were talking about
demographics. But they can't make it work on the Switch because it literally needs frostbite. Like, going back to what we were talking about with Longshot, they were like going, yeah, you know, like, the reason we don't have the Journey on the Switch version is because you literally need the Switch to make it work. We can't put this into Ignite. Mm-hmm. Like, they would have wanted to, but they can't. So it's like, okay, well, and like I said, I don't even think it's necessarily the Journey that's a killer app. I think it's Ultimate Team, and I think Ultimate Team is going to be really inferior on the Switch. And not only that, like, the good parts of Ultimate Team, being able to, you know, sit on the auction house and play and, like, bid or open packs or play online, that doesn't really fit with the Switch. Like, the Switch, you have to connect online. You have to be connected online. And sure, you can sit in a coffee shop or sit in an airport. Maybe that will work, but it's not the most convenient thing. We just got to remember that FIFA's popularity is built on Ultimate Team right now. Like, that is the driver. And it's not going to work on Switch.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll check back up on that later, especially later in the year.
To be clear, I'm rooting for it to succeed. I want to work.
I know. We all do. Because I would love to see more games make it to the Switch. It has a lot of potential there. Let's talk about briefly here the other fantastic soccer game on the market, Pro Evolution Soccer 2018. They also announced they didn't have any press briefing appearance, but they did have their gameplay details roll out, and they did also announce during E3 that they're going to have an online beta using their new cooperative online modes. That's going to be in July. Kat, I understand you also played Pro Evo. What'd you think of what they're doing this year?
I think it looks very nice. Unfortunately, I don't have a ton to add to that because when I walked into the Pro Evolution room, there were a bunch of people on the systems, and unfortunately, the PR people were not super helpful in kind of like laying out everything that was going to be like really new with the game and that kind of thing. I played a couple rounds. It felt about as good as it did last year. I don't have a ton of extra comments on that. I know that they're going to be adding to some of the modes and that kind of thing. But beyond that, I wouldn't necessarily expect a huge improvement. It sounds like most of the improvements are graphical. And they're going to have a new transfer system. I understand that part. They're going to have a new transfer system.
And it looks like they're putting work into what I think many would see as one of its few deficiencies as far as modes go, especially online. So where they're doing the online cooperative mode, and then they're doing the beta to try and iron things out. So they're working on it. But yeah, I mean, where they're coming from already is all of us, or at least I know Rich and I, felt that, you know, Pro Evolution is probably the best gameplay in all of sports gaming.
No.
As far as
that's not true at all.
Come on. Nah. What would you give that to? What would be the best
Madden
gameplay?
NBA or miles beyond that. Sorry. I'm sorry. People give a lot of crap to Madden, but Madden is actually very good. And Madden has been good.
I don't disagree.
Last year's Madden version of Madden was excellent. And this year's Madden's going to be even better.
Yeah,
and yeah. NBA 2K, for as much as people harp on the online play, has like some of the smoothest animation. Like it's mm-hmm. some of the most sophisticated gameplay that you're going to find. And PES is like, it's very good. Don't get me wrong. Like I would say that I would even go as far as to say that it is better than FIFA in the gameplay department. But I think that people kind of treat PES as like, people really want PES to succeed. They really want it to be a great competitor to FIFA. And it's good. Don't get me wrong. I enjoy playing it. But I think we need to stop treating it as like this amazing, amazing game. Okay? It's okay. Especially in the modes. The modes are not that good. The modes, I would even venture to say the modes are subpar.
It's been a weakness. That has been a weakness. It does not match up. It obviously doesn't go to the lengths, go to the production value that a FIFA offers as far as like the journey goes.
Yeah, I mean, it simply does not have the money going behind it.
Sure.
And it's not jumped on the ultimate team train in the way that every other sports game has, which, by the way, I'm not saying that it should. Like,
well,
their
do.
Version of it is, yeah. like, totally different and actually very weird, and I'm not a huge fan of what they're doing. But, yeah, like, so, like, PES, in many respects, like, it's just, it's always going to lag behind FIFA. And as much, and I hate to be that person, the licenses are a huge detriment.
Oh, well, there's no gigantic. Doubt about that. There's no doubt about that.
And I imported the licenses, okay? I have imported the darn licenses. Still a huge detriment. So they said the PC version is going to be good this year. So fingers crossed.
Yep, that's another thing. And they were
so emotional for this conversation. Oh my god.
Yeah. okay.
Come at me.
No, I don't know. Rich, did you want to quickly take a shot at Kat here for her beliefs?
No,
I'm not
going to argue. No, I mean everything she said is right about the licenses.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that I don't love the game and won't put hundreds of hours into it next year, because I will. And I'm going to love every minute of it. And as I said, my biggest takeaway from Pro Evo this year from E3 is I'm just delighted with the fact that it continues to be made by a company that doesn't make a whole lot of traditional video games anymore. And there appears to continue to be strong support behind it. And as a fan of the game, I love it.
And it looks much better this year graphically.
which is amazing to hear. Like, that's the thing. Like, the fact that we're getting what looks like this fall two spectacular. I mean, I know we're getting, you know, barring something crazy, at least one spectacular soccer game in Pro Evo, because I thought last year's was spectacular. The fact that we're getting two games that look to be amazing is just so great, because I think there's room for me with those two games. I'll play both of them. Heck, I played a lot of FIFA. I didn't even buy FIFA this year. But I've managed to play at least 40 hours of it because of EA Access and then the Vault. Mm-hmm. So there's plenty of room.
I think we all want strong competition for FIFA, like, because we want EA to be pushed as hard as you possibly can. And I know that the team behind FIFA work as hard as they possibly can on each version, but it hasn't been a super great generation for FIFA. And it feels a little like PES has been pushing them a bit. So anything they can do to really get EA to be like, oh crap, we gotta take another look at the gameplay here, because PES is kind of eating our lunch in that regard, is good.
All right, agreed.
Let's get into here for the last segment of the show.
By the way, can I talk about NHL? Because I played.
That's what we're doing. Doing now, Kat. NHL 18. Rolled out its first features. It did not appear at EA Play or E3, which is fairly unusual, but it was bumped back to the NHL Awards, where they revealed the cover plus the features. We knew about the features. They were uncovered in surveys EA sent out months ago. That includes expansion mode for franchise, a defensive skill stick, and a 3-on-3 arcade mode called NHL Threes. And then they also have an online beta coming, and that's going to offer the opportunity to play and provide feedback on online versus on EA Sports Hockey League and NHL 3s. So cool opportunity there. It'll be the third straight year they've done an online beta for NHL. So Kat, thoughts on the NHL 18 and everything we now know?
So the bad news is that it's definitely behind all of the other EA games. Maybe not behind NBA Live. I did not play a lot of NBA Live, but NBA Live is also still using Ignite. So it's kind of tertiary to my interests at the moment. If I'm going to play one basketball game, it's going to be NBA 2K. But I digress. So NHL, its main features, as we maybe know, is that it's introducing NHL 3s. It's going to improve the AI a bit. It's introducing expansion, which is actually kind of cool. So I can effectively go into the game with any team I want. So I can basically recreate the Minnesota North Stars finally. I mean, last year I had the Seattle North Stars, but this year maybe Minnesota North Stars. And let's see. Oh, yeah. They're also making it so you can have like couch co-op and online co-op, like basically any mixture you want with like Hockey Ultimate Team, EA SHL and that kind of thing, which I think is actually pretty rad. So talking about NHL 3s, this is an interesting mode. And yeah, initially I was pretty skeptical because the way that they're pitching it is almost like this ambassadorial thing. It gets back to like, how do you attract a new audience, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And Madden is doing a big story mode, and NHL's apparently their thesis is, well, we have this like fun, interesting arcade mode thing, and you can share it to your friends and your hockey-loving friends, and maybe they will pick up NHL. I'm not really buying it because I think that a veteran of the game is going to be like, let us play NHL 3s. It's going to be fun. And then you play it together, and the veteran is going to score 7 times in a row and go, oh, okay. And meanwhile, it doesn't address the fact that the controls are actually still quite complicated. And also scoring in NHL is very, very hard. Yes, you'll have more opportunities. There will be more end-to-end rushes. But I don't actually see it as being that newbie-friendly mode, even though it has, fun, you know, arenas and that kind of thing. I think where its true potential lies is in the fact that it has an EA SHL variant. And here's the thing with EA SHL. I like that mode a lot. I love the idea of that mode. I do not play that mode. Why do I not play that mode? Because I do not have 4 friends who also play NHL. So it is difficult for me to get together a team. And matchmaking in that mode is a pain. Nice. Like, you'll like go into the lobby and you'll be like waiting, and people will like be coming in, they'll be leaving, they'll be coming in, they'll be leaving, you'll finally have a team, and then they'll quit. And you're like, what the, well, come on. Like, it takes a long time to get a game going in EA SHL, so I just have a hard time being interested. Even though the EA Sports Hockey League, I would say by far the biggest selling point of NHL. Like, people like Hockey Ultimate Team makes some money, EA SHL is the best thing. I like the idea of NHL 3s as an EA SHL alternative. I like the idea of being able to play with a couple of my friends, just two extra friends, and being able to do this crazy back and forth, like 3-on-3 hockey against somebody else, like some other team of friends, playing up to like 7 goals or whatever. That's a great idea. Like, hopefully that will like address a lot of the problems with matchmaking. And here's another thing. I think that it will actually help in the esports space. Like, I am a FIFA/Madden/NHL esports skeptic. I think that, frankly, watching a digital version of a sports game being played for money is a little stupid. I'm sorry, like, to put it that baldly, but I'm just like, okay, I'm gonna watch a real sport now. I have no emotional investment in this. I do not care about the people who are like really big shots in the Madden community. Like, I have no, like, I'm just watching this kind of like as a intellectual exercise. I think that with NHL 3s, on the one hand, you have a team. That is a big component of esports success. All the best esports are team games where you have multiple people working together. Another thing is that it feels more divorced from the actual sport because it's 3-on-3, it's not 5-on-5, and it's in these wacky like arenas, like these Rocket League type arenas, right?
Mm-hmm.
So right off the bat, like, those are two much more interesting things. And then finally, it's really fast, fast paced, back and forth, tons of skill going on. It could be fun to watch, right? It could be fun to watch in a way that Madden isn't, mm-hmm. or even FIFA is not. So, like, I'm going, okay, do I think it'll actually become, like, a major esport? Hell no. No, I do not. I do not think it will overtake the League of Legends or the Counter-Strike or even be in that same stratosphere. But I think that it is, I think it has a better chance if that were to ever happen than, say, FIFA or Madden, even though NHL isn't that popular. Mm-hmm. And I think the EA SHL stuff is great. So, and I might even play it. So in that regard, I am all in on NHL 3s.
All right. Rich, I have a question for you. And this is, again, a sentiment I hear from people on Twitter and elsewhere. And that's, why would they put in this arcade mode as opposed to doing something like GM Connected, which is a highly requested feature? What would you say to that?
Well, my assumption is that the time and effort to put in NHL 3s is significantly less than the time and effort to put in GM Connected. And it also gives them a easier, probably wider group of people that would potentially be interested in playing NHL 3s than would be interested in playing GM Connected. And GM Connected, as a longtime fan of it, you know, I don't like to say it, but GM Connected is not a revenue generator. And it does, I don't know how much it costs them in sales every year from people who don't buy it because of it.
Right.
I'm one of those people because I don't, NHL, you know, we talk about there is room for me in my world for FIFA and Pro Evo this upcoming year. NHL has gotten the short end of the stick, no pun intended, mm-hmm. for me the last couple of years in the sports game world, the console sports game world. This does, all of the stuff coming out about NHL 18 does pique my interest. But to me, it just feels like they're weighing their options and allocating resources and saying, I think all things considered, 3s is just a better investment than a GM Connected. And it's probably not that binary. There's probably 25 other things in that equation. But at the end of the day, that's what I presume is the reasoning behind it.
They killed GM Connected because nobody was playing it. Well, right. By far their least favorite, their least played mode.
If you remember, though, it was...
chicken and egg.
It was intolerable.
It was a chicken and egg. Like, yeah. It was tough to deal with. It didn't function. It was very slow. You had to really, 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 really want to be playing GM Connected to play GM Connected.
Yeah, I'm sure Madden would tell you that online CFM is one of their least played modes as well. So it's just a fact that online franchise, and I speak as somebody who adores online career modes and has been in a freaking Madden league for 7 years. I know that I'm in the minority. Like, people play Ultimate Team. I don't like it, but I just have to accept it. In NHL, and sadly, they are a very small development team. They have to choose where they're going to put their resources, and NHL 3s is probably a better bet at the end of the day than GM Connected. Please don't kill me.
No, I don't necessarily disagree with you. It's one of those things where they're weighing the potential.
It hurts. It kills the longevity of NHL for me every year. Like, I play it for review. I play a few more games. Like, I play a whole bunch of franchise, and I go, yeah, I got everything I wanted out of this. And then I play every other sports game, like, way more. Well, like, I miss it. I used to play multiple seasons of online GM Connected. It sucks.
Yeah, we see how few arcade games there are now these days. I mean, the rare exception was the recently released, especially when we're talking licensed NBA Playgrounds. And so if they can fit that arcade-type game within their sim game, they're looking at potentially trying to expand their sales. That would help with sales. That could potentially lead to later people investing in Ultimate Team. NHL, you know, does not sell a ton of copies as it is. It does well enough, obviously, to continue on. But it's
always been money from Ultimate Team.
Yeah, it's not nearly as lucrative as the Ultimate Teams in any of the other games. But it's enough to keep it alive. So that's obviously going to be their focus, is how can we try and expand sales, and how can we maximize the revenue potential of those who actually do buy our game. And so,
but I just don't see it expanding the sales. I see it being more of a hardcore thing.
I think NHL especially is just, it's a very difficult to sell to anyone who isn't already an NHL video game fan and already an NHL sport dedicated fan, because it doesn't translate well as the other sports do to people who are general sports fans, I don't think. So the
which is weird because NHL 94 is one of the most popular sports games of all time.
Yeah,
but that's a long time ago. It's a different world.
But hockey as a sport, like, it's a natural video game, right? Like, it is fun to go up and down the ice and run into one another shoot. Yes. And there have been many great NHL themed games over the years that have been super fun to play. But
how much fun have you and I had playing NHL over the years against each other, Kat?
Lots of fun.
Tremendous amounts of fun. It's a great video game. Mm-hmm. And it's on NHL, playing it online is the best way. And it's a challenge for them in that sort of their best features tend to be the harder to really get larger numbers of people to participate in.
Yeah, I mean, EASHL is, like, inherently hardcore, right?
Yeah,
but it's
exactly.
a selling point. It's a right. good selling point.
Yes, but it doesn't get multiple millions of people playing it, and it doesn't earn them any additional revenue. It's tough.
It doesn't help that it gets middling reviews because from people like me, we're jerks. Because frankly, it's behind the other sports games, like, by a large margin, actually, and it is going to be one of the last to move to Frostbite. It always seems to be kind of a year behind in terms of introducing new features. And
I think it also, just for my personal experience, it has the hardest time having a different experience with different players and different teams. Yeah. It so often just feels like it doesn't matter what teams you roll out there. You know, in the other sports, it's just so much more obvious when you have higher talented players at certain positions. It's just, and I don't know that it's inherently a fault of NHL, the series. It's just, it's hard to translate the differences between players and make that come out when you're playing the game.
Why can FIFA do player ID and team ID, but NHL can't?
Like, I don't know that they can't.
What's the difference? Like, I guess, I don't know. But it's a problem for NHL. And I don't know, like, the actual gameplay is decent, but I have found myself, like, tiring of it a little bit. I do want to mention one more thing about it, aside from NHL 3, is they're introducing more dekes, and they're introducing more ways to score, and I'm kind of interested in this. Like, you can, like, slide the puck 5-hole by, like, kind of doing certain inputs. You can, like, kind of go top shelf, like, reliably in certain areas, like, if you put in the right inputs, and it's a very advanced thing. And in some respects, it's kind of like Madden, actually, because Madden also has this new advanced feature, like, you can... Have you heard of this? Like, you can press a button. So you drop back, you press a button, your quarterback stops. Like, they can't run anymore, but you can place where you want to put the ball. And they are, like, basically looking at it as, like, a high-level skill thing, probably for the esports, to kind of show off. They're not necessarily expecting the general player population to use it, but if you can use it, like, that's a high-level thing. That's kind of awesome. Mm-hmm. In NHL, their high-level thing is, like, deking, like, advanced dekes. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to successfully pull these off, but I do like the idea of being able to score goals in really cool ways if I can manage to kind of master it.
And I think they're emphasizing that in their trailers because they want to give the impression that, yeah, this is going to be not necessarily an arcade-y game. They have the arcade mode dedicated to that, but that it's going to be maybe a little more friendly, a little more higher scoring, a little more fun. And that's probably what they're trying to get across through that, implementing features and improvements in that direction, and then emphasizing them in the trailers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that'll do it for this episode. Thank you again, Kat Bailey, U.S. Gamer. Got some great stuff coming out of E3 you had up on U.S. Gamer. So thank you for taking the time out to join us. Rich Grisham, as always, thank you for coming on, being a part of this episode, Out of the Park Developments. And, hey, you know, next week I'm going to have some thoughts on the Golf Club 2. The game will be out. I'll have my review out. So that'll be on the next episode, plus whatever else comes up. Always something comes up in the next week. So thank you everyone for listening to this episode, and we'll see you again soon. Take care.